Hello, grandkids. It has been too long. This is Kevin DeFrango. To my right is Mr. Ken Phillips. What is going on?
Hey, we're back together again in Opa Studio South, I guess.
Yeah.
We could say.
That works.
So, yeah, it is good to be back. It's been a little while. Different things popping up. I guess we had Easter in between there. Did you get anything from the Easter Bunny this year?
Candy as usual.
Candy?
And scratch-off tickets. I don't know why the Easter Bunny in his older age has decided that it is cool to give out lotto tickets.
Well, you know, I guess the Easter Bunny is trying to promote gambling, clearly.
The Easter Bunny has a problem, and he needs to be confronted.
Yeah, I don't know. Once the Easter Bunny starts handing out smokes or cheap vodka, then you start to get worried, I think. But, you know, the idea of the Easter Bunny giving out lottery cards is still somewhat palatable, I guess. You know, there's a certain innocence to it, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah, there is.
You know
but,
what?
There was someone who is still at this time innocent.
Oh, until proven guilty, you mean?
Until proven guilty. And he was only in court this past Monday. And he allegedly swam out to sea to get out of paying for a dinner.
Yeah. This is a really going the extra mile, I guess, to try to skip out of your dinner, because
well, yeah, it's a pretty dick move. A, that you're just right by the sea, so you can get, you know, just leave that way. I don't know, man. That's just extra shady, man.
Right. Well, it does seem like it makes a certain amount of sense that you would be able to, you know, are the staff really going to swim out after you, you know, to get you? And, you know, it's interesting that, I think they ended up well, it wasn't like he just ordered, shall we say, a sandwich and a Coke.
Oh, well, that is one thing that, well, this man, his name is Terry Peck, and his rapping name is Tupac.
Oh, yeah, I guess we should say that he is a aspiring rapper as well. And I made the mistake of actually clicking on this link to listen to the song, and I do not recommend that. I see lots of people have commented on the song from SoundCloud, but I'm sure they found it as terrible as I do. But it just to give you a flavor, it's I don't know if anyone ever had a Casio keyboard with a drum loop as a child, but that's basically what the rap beat sounds like, and he's I don't know, rapping in kind of a monotone, boring.
Yeah, it's not like outright terrible, but it's not good either.
Yeah, it's not good. And I could see where you might, you know, decide to get some free publicity maybe by doing something outrageous like this.
It does get people to click on your music.
It did, didn't it? Yes.
Now, how many of the people that click on this may actually enjoy it is a question that I would imagine that someone that clicked on it said, oh, I like it. And that is weird.
Now, I probably listened about 30 seconds worth of that song, and it's, you know, 3 minutes and 45 seconds. So I don't know if that actually counted for, you know, I don't know if this worked out for him. I don't know, because it, you may have to listen to like a third of it or something before it counts as a full listen, you know, for your stats. I'm just you know, doing a little back of the envelope type calculation here. I don't think that really counted as a full listen for Tupac in this case. So I guess I can feel a little bit better about, you know, accidentally clicking on that that song. So, yeah, they said that apparently...
And I was looking for this, is that he had two lobsters, one of which evidently was overcooked, which is hilarious. I'm not quite sure why you eat an overcooked a whole overcooked lobster.
Well, according to who was it overcooked?
To this gentleman, to Tupac.
Oh.
He claimed that one of them was overcooked, but if he ate two lobsters, that means he complained about it being overcooked after he ate it.
Well, maybe it was the second one that was overcooked. And
that is possible.
We're a little scant on details here.
But also, a baby octopus was on the list.
A baby octopus, yeah. That was an important detail there. Is that anything like veal? Like, is the baby octopus maybe less rubbery or something?
I would imagine you don't have to... You really have to beat octopus a lot to get it to be chewy enough to eat.
Oh, really? I've never beaten an octopus.
I have not, but I've watched it done on Iron Chef, the original Japanese version.
That makes sense.
So, yeah, I'm quite sure that they had baby octopus on there at some juncture. Or just full-on octopus, just because they're crazy.
In either way, it does add a certain extra element of disgustingness to this story. That it's a baby octopus. And it just says a whole baby octopus. I mean, there's like no, tentacles mentioned. It just says baby octopus.
Yeah.
As one of these items on this despicable list here.
Those were the main events as far as the food goes. But,
well, I don't know what you consider 21 vodka oyster shots to be food. Because I don't know what an oyster shot is. It also sounds disgusting.
Well, and I don't know why I didn't look that up.
And lobsters, I mean, let's face it, are basically bugs that live underwater. Either bugs or some kind of alien creatures, I would say.
And I do have to admit that I miss being able to eat lobster. It is just not one of those things that my body allows me to ingest anymore.
Oh, you have an allergy to
shellfish. Yes.
Oh, well, you know, then this would be especially not good for you, Kevin, to try this. And I guess we should say we don't recommend any of our listeners try this either. It's really, in the end, crime did not pay for this this gentleman. Apparently.
Oh, yeah, it does look like there is.
So we're actually looking at pictures of vodka oyster shots. And
yeah, I mean, it does involve one whole oyster, and it looks like a Bloody Mary mix of some sort.
Yeah, yeah.
to simplify things,
it might be tasty.
Yeah, again, that would be a problem for yours truly. So this guy would want to be killing me.
It looks like there's some phlegm at the bottom of a glass of V8, basically, as far as I can tell. Again, not appetizing. So he had 21 of those, the vodka oyster shots.
Yeah, and a number of Coronas.
In quotes, a number of Coronas. So I guess that's opposed to some quantity of Coronas that couldn't be described by a number. So I'm not exactly sure where that would fall.
Well, it cracks me up that if you're going to go out of your way, like, you've made up your mind to skip this bill a long time ago, right?
That's true.
Or do you think this is a spur-of-the-moment thing?
Hmm. Well, it could be that...
Because 21 shots, like, this guy was downing shots and beer.
Yeah. a number of beers. We're not sure the exact number. There could be an imaginary component to that number, and that's why. But for whatever reason, they're not able to actually nail down with precision how many beers he drank. Yes.
Yeah, you would think that they would have a tab and that it would not be hard to count the number of Coronas that this gentleman had.
Well, they had a fairly specific dollar or Australian dollar amount. We should say this took place in Australia.
Yeah, but, it's $621 was the gentleman's
So one would think that the Coronas, said Coronas, would be enumerated somewhere on that bill, but
yeah,
for whatever reason,
they were not. Like, I don't know if they gave him some for free, and maybe they weren't on the bill, so they don't have a completely accurate number.
You know, it could have been because that second lobster was overcooked. They decided to tack on
some complimentary beers.
Mm.
Yeah, could be a situation like that.
I don't know if I've ever had that happen, but, you know. I don't think I've ever actually ordered two lobsters. Because, you know, when the first one is okay, and you're just, I guess, still hungry, you want to have that second lobster.
Yeah, along with the baby octopus.
But Kevin, I can't help but think
that's just a lot of food, man.
Yes, I can't help but think that some of that food was really slowing him down when it came to the the second part of his evening, the second leg of his triathlon. Yeah, when he was trying the swimming portion of the evening, he probably couldn't swim away quite as much as he would have liked.
Yeah,
having just consumed a disgusting dinner. Of enormous proportions.
Yeah, that's got to not be good. I mean, I know that the whole you shouldn't eat and swim thing isn't completely true, but the amount of food he ate, he had to have been bloated.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that just cannot be comfortable when you're going out to sea to swim away.
Right, and I know one of our earlier topics on our show was the gentleman who was breaking the record for the beer run, beer mile, where he would chug a beer and then run a mile.
Correct.
So that guy had to do a lot of training, though. I feel like Tupac, I'm not even sure if he planned this at the beginning, that this is what he was going to do. I kind of have a feeling he went with the spur of the moment. He changed the play at the line of scrimmage here and called an audible.
He might have called it somewhere in the middle of those numerous Coronas. I guess I'm changing my mind now.
One of those numbers of those Coronas might have been the one that
really he's like, fuck it, I'm all in. Let's just. But honestly, at that point, I'm not sure why you don't, like, either he really loves Corona or he decided not to. I don't know why you just don't get an expensive drink when you're, you know, just not in the fuck it phase.
Or conversely, do you think maybe the staff sensed that he was going to be planning this, and so they were kind of giving him more Coronas in order to make him an easier to catch later? It could have been some three-dimensional chess going on there.
Oh, that would be the other thing. On top of all of the food, I remember this one evening that I ended up having a beer before playing soccer. And it was one of the worst ideas I ever had. Yeah. I felt so sluggish and out of it. And this guy had numerous Coronas before going out and swimming, which is even more strenuous than running around on a soccer pitch.
Well, did you have any more vodka muscle shots than he did, or was that?
No, I did not have two lobsters for dinner that evening, or even two. I don't know what to equate that to, like. Two pork loins, or at least one large pork loin.
Oh yeah, that's a lot of food.
Because I mean, the lobster is that there's a decent chunk of meat on those things.
The other interesting thing that I think was weirdly left out of this article, at least I didn't see, and maybe it is, sharp-eyed listeners might know. I don't think they mentioned if he was had a companion on this evening, or was he dining alone?
Oh, well, I guess the bill sounded outrageous enough, and I'm like, I can see $621. I mean, lobster isn't cheap. I'm not sure how cheap baby octopus is.
Yes, we still don't know the number on that on those Coronas.
Oyster vodka shots.
Can't know that, but yeah,
21 of those. For some reason, yeah, they have the number for that, yeah. But not the.
I mean, 21. Those probably are like $6 a pop. Do you think?
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably a fancy restaurant. I'm guessing.
Right.
So probably six is the floor on those.
I would imagine that is the floor. Like I would imagine like $8 to $10 is probably a more likely scenario.
Yeah. So you're 21 of those and you're talking serious money.
Yeah. I mean, you could be talking a third of the bill if it's $10, which isn't, I don't think that unreasonable.
And then, throw in a couple lobsters and a number of Coronas.
And a number of Coronas and
you can get up to that 621.
Yeah, I think that's pretty easily attainable. But it is weird. Like, I guess if you are going out to a fancy restaurant and you kind of want to be seen, why wouldn't you have a companion with you of some variety?
Or even better, an entourage to kind of boost your status a little bit, get you noticed in the rap game, you know.
that could work. Bring a posse.
You know, I could probably, be convinced to do some PR work for Tupac if he wants to get in touch with me. I'm sure that would be a great partnership for everybody involved, really.
Yes, so Tupac, hit us up, Stunt Granny, through Ken.
To be fair, Kevin, I should say, maybe he actually wasn't trying to skip out on his bill. He actually could have been trying to scare sharks away from these fiber optic cables under the ground, under the water. We didn't consider that.
Oh, wow.
Because
yes, yeah, maybe he was swimming out to sea to save Google's
undersea cables, right?
Undersea cables.
Yeah, that's it.
I guess I'm not. It's kind of funny that they mentioned that this story goes the whole way back to 1987. Which I guess I wasn't all that aware of the internets in 87 to be worrying about this.
Yeah, it was probably more for like phone lines and things back then, I'm guessing. There would have been some kind of internet, I think, but
yeah, it could have been phone lines. That would make sense.
But between probably universities and things, they had the internet. But anyway... as the headline here says, the global internet is being attacked by sharks. Google confirms.
Well, it was kind of funny. Like, I don't think it was their video that they had in this of the shark actually biting one of the cables. Hmm. It was someone else's video.
Now, this seems like, you know what? I didn't see the last Sharknado, to be totally honest with you. But this could be, if the Sharknado producers are listening, this is not a bad idea for that Sharknado 5. Is that what they're up to now, I think?
I think so. They need something to hop that series back up after 3 and 4.
Well, it's hard to like top yourself once you reached a certain level of ridiculousness. I mean, they could go with like a I don't know, some kind of Alice in Wonderland. Like they could get the sharks, Sharknado in Wonderland, maybe, or something like that. Again, I think
they,
this
they
is
have
a...
to follow the yellow brick road. And the Sharknado is behind the curtain.
And then it was all a dream at the end.
Oh no, the Sharknado takes them to Kansas.
Oh my god. Okay, so I guess we should probably put ourselves out there for the producers of Sharknado to get in contact with us as well. We are not just willing to work with Tupac. We can also work on Sharknado 5. So
hit us up.
Oh, that was perfect. Like we planned that. So I guess they're not really sure why these sharks are going after these cables for sure, Kevin.
Yeah, some people say that it may be their sensitivity to electrical current.
Yeah, they are apparently able to sense electrical currents using some sensors in their, I don't know, cheek areas, I guess?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
So, that could be some type of a electromagnetic signal coming from those lines. Although I thought if they're fiber optics, it would just basically be light going through there. But maybe that's also sending out some kind of electromagnetic, it makes sense. A disturbance in the force, if you will, that the sharks are able to pick up on. I don't know. I doubt that they're trying to step one in some type of global domination plan of the sharks. I doubt that. I mean, can you totally discount it? No, of course not. If it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck. I mean, you can't say that it's not a duck for sure. So they could be planning on, this could be part one, and then they're going to sort of develop the means to come out on the land and attack us. Step two.
Yeah, or they could be, as one set of people do tend to believe, that they may just be curious. And honestly, I would have to say that the video kind of supports that. Like, it didn't really, attack the cable.
More like playing with it, you'd say?
It didn't start pulling on it or trying to, really thrash it around that much. It got a hold of it, but it didn't really look like it was trying to go in for a kill on anything either.
Yeah.
So maybe in general, from what I've seen from shark video stuff of that nature.
Yeah, and I guess if it does put off a little bit of a electromagnetic pulse or something, that could be enough to make them think that some kind of eel or something, I don't know.
Oh. Yeah, and still make them at least curious enough to go and, they sense it with one thing and they go in for the curiosity factor.
They're not sure what it is. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. You haven't seen it for thousands and thousands of miles and all of a sudden there's this giant cable there that's that has electromagnetic pulses on it.
I guess I never thought of sharks as being something that plays, though. Dolphins, of course, I think everybody's seen video of them playing around with balls or, killer whales, maybe.
Killer whales?
Yeah, killer whales.
I mean, I know that they did at SeaWorld and stuff like that, but, out in nature they do that, too?
Oh, well...
Because I know that dolphins do play out in nature on their own.
I think so. I mean, they are also of the similar order as dolphins, really. So I wouldn't be too surprised if they would also play in the wild. I know that, I guess I was thinking of the video where there was one that was teaching a younger orca how to kill these seals. It was basically setting things up for him and letting him...
Oh.
Go out and take care of it.
Right.
So there's nothing like that with sharks that I can tell. I think the sharks would just as soon eat each other as anything else. So it's a little surprising to think of them as being kind of curious and wanting to kind of play around with something new. But it could just be it with potential food on the line as well.
Well, I guess that's the other thing, that despite the number of shark bites, there's still relatively, little of them.
Oh, for people, yeah.
Yeah, for people.
Yeah, I think the sharks are clearly on the losing end of the shark versus human battle, such as it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, they're on such the losing end that people are trying to get other people to stop from hunting them at all.
So they don't get totally wiped out. Yeah.
Right, so.
Which, that's probably not a bad thing.
Yeah, there could be some chain reaction to that that maybe is not for the best.
Right.
Especially something that's stuck around for that long.
And I guess we're not quite at Jurassic Park levels of being able to bring back species from their DNA. So let's just
hold our horses on trying to extinct anything else.
Yeah, slow.
Until after we have cloning.
Slow our roll a little bit, maybe. Yeah. We don't need to kill all the animals.
That's a heck of a standard. Okay, we can murder all the animals once we can clone them.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that'll be the...
But that would be weird. I mean, if you just keep on cloning them, did you really make them extinct?
I don't know, because if you have like a diverse enough sample, I guess you could have a breeding population that you clone, which would then be able to kind of go on and continue the species. At least that's kind of how I think it would work in a perfect world, yes. Or quote-unquote perfect world. I don't know.
Yeah, that's one weird world that you're going to end up living in. I'm surrounded by clones of everything.
Yep, we brought them back, but...
Sheep clone.
First they had to get killed off, I guess. So that's, there's a plus and minus there.
They did not make it onto Noah's Ark.
Well, that could explain how all the animals fit on Noah's Ark if they were just storing DNA. I don't know. We might have to put that forward to the people at that Bible Museum, or the Noah's Ark Museum.
Yeah, down in Kentucky there.
They might be interested to hear our theory. Well,
yeah.
Why not, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So... I don't know.
Yeah, I guess, again, I used to watch a lot of shark programming, and I guess they do seem very curious to me, and that they don't, they're not as harmful as they are usually imagined.
Yes.
So,
sometimes people,
I guess the curiosity angle of things doesn't really surprise me all that much.
Yeah, I mean, there are, maybe sharks, and I think you're right, that the sharks aren't as harmful as we imagine, but...
Well, and it's definitely, there are certain breeds of them, like, I know that there's that one really horrific video that I ended up watching that was a guy got his calf ripped off when they were filming something.
Oh, wow. Well,
yeah, they're like, they built up the whole show to the reveal of that, and they're like, okay, if you don't want to watch this, you really should not watch this. And then they pause it again, and they're like, no, seriously, if you watch this, this is your own damn fault. And they showed his leg after the shark had bit it, and it was nasty.
Yeah, that sounds pretty bad.
Yeah, so I mean, there are certain types of sharks. Like, I know that a bull shark's really one of, and it kind of it comes in wherever it lives too. Like, it kind of comes inshore pretty far too, so the possibility actually exists. But like, everyone kind of pictures Jaws, and Jaws doesn't usually happen more times than not. It's usually a smaller shark
coming in closer to land.
They can come in closer. The smaller sharks can come closer to land, so those are the ones actually that tend to be the problem, not the bigger ones. The bigger ones have bigger animals to eat with. I mean, like you said, the killer whale, and was it a seal?
Yeah.
I mean, they end up eating fish that size. Like, they don't fuck around.
Yeah, and this was like out in the middle of the ocean, so not near land for those big.
Oh, the killer whales.
Yeah, it was like on an ice floe or whatever. They were kind of like breaking it up and getting them separated out in the middle of the nowhere. So, but yeah, you know, some things in nature, I guess, are probably as dangerous as people think they are for the most part. And, you know, I might put tornadoes up there on that list, Kevin.
Well, I was going to say, though, there's one other interesting thing about this.
Segway denied.
Well, yeah. I thought it was pretty interesting that that they're coming up. They called it Kevlar at the top of the top of the article, but they said that it's actually called polyethylene protective yarn. So they think that Google is working on their own version of Kevlar, basically.
Okay.
To help coat the lines. Like, I thought that was pretty fascinating. They didn't spend all that much time on it, but it is kind of interesting that something like that is being developed by someone like Google, I suppose. But it makes sense why they'd want to get into in that business. Because, you know, maybe the Kevlar isn't as good for biting as some type of other type of surface or material.
Yeah.
You know, it's better for bullets, but maybe it's not as good for a shark, you know, a shark chomping.
Yeah, for some reason, this just reminded me of that mithril vest that from the Lord of the Rings. Yes, exactly. Because that was supposed to be like this light weight material that was woven together, made from mithril, which is this sort of you know, fantasy metal.
Right.
But kind of reminds, I mean, you could say that maybe this is some type, I mean, calling it a polyethylene protective yarn, as Google does, it does, you know, seem a little bit magical in a way. It's not quite adamantium or something, but...
yeah, it's, well, just anything developing like that's kind of cool. In my opinion, so I thought that was worth noting before talking about some people that are not so cool.
That's true.
They think they're cool though, and I'm sure that there are plenty of people that that do agree with them.
Yeah.
I would not be one of those people.
So maybe everyone's familiar with storm chasers, the concept of going out there looking for a tornado, some dramatic storm to be able to get good pictures of it.
Yeah, like Twister with the late, great Bill Paxton and Helen Hunt. Although that movie... Well, actually, I should probably go back and watch that one. That's got to be one of those good bad movies that maybe I didn't like good bad movies at that point.
Yeah, I think it would probably.
Because I just thought it was bad at first.
It would probably be nostalgic at least to go back and look. I have a feeling that movie's very 90s.
if I would imagine. Go back
and watch it again. But, yeah, I mean, at least they're, I guess, in that universe, they were trying to study the tornadoes. They were trying to deploy some sensors into the actual tornado to see what was going on inside of it. Yes.
Yeah.
To learn more about tornadoes and how they, you know, work to be able to predict better where they were going to go, right? But, the people in question here are basically just trying to get lots of likes on video sharing platforms, it seems to me. So they were driving into and towards a tornado for laughs, basically.
Yeah, and I do like that you know, just at the top of the article, they mention that that unlike as the video presents itself, they were very eyes wide open about going in for this experience, and that it had not been taken lightly, despite the video, which is really not a good place to have to start. Well, like you're kind of starting yourself in the hole already.
I guess, like, in way of context too, like, there is kind of like a community of these, I don't know if they call themselves storm chasers or whatever, but people who go after and try to get pictures of tornadoes and things like that, videos. But, you know, there's some controversies around that as well, because it can be, like, dangerous for you to be going in the path of the storm. You know, there could be people who are trying to flee the storm, or, you know, the storm itself is dangerous, too. You could be, like, causing traffic for people who are trying to get out of there. That's been known to happen too in some cases, where there's a lot of people who are trying to, like, converge at once on these storms.
Oh, gotcha.
And, you know, people do sometimes get killed by these things. So it's not like a great idea necessarily to be trying to get as close as possible, and actually into, in this case. Now, I will say that after watching the video, it did not look like that impressive a tornado. At first, it looked was pretty big. But then when they actually, like, drove, quote-unquote, through it, it was not... I mean, it didn't look that bad, really.
Yeah, and... I didn't notice this earlier, but it's... Oh, it's called a tornado intercept also, because that was the other thing that, but it's a weak tornado.
Oh, okay. So there's actually like a classification here?
Yeah, and I'm trying to, because I knew that I saw it, but as soon as I saw the headline there, I remember that's what they called it.
Yeah,
but they didn't put a number. But like you said, like, when you actually see the video, I was just like, oh, is that it? You know, you are definitely taking a chance.
Yeah, especially the way it looked at first to me. Like, it's like, you really need to. And there were, like, I don't know, branches falling down from the trees.
Oh, yeah.
Here and there. I mean, who knows? Like you say, you're taking a chance.
Yeah, I guess if everyone's on board, I don't see a reason not to do it. But
it seemed like they weren't being very serious about it, which is kind of a problem, you know.
Yeah, I would have to say that filming it with a handheld camera as you drove is not the best plan. In this, especially when did they say they had 18 cameras?
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah, I only saw, I think, two different cameras views. It makes sense that they should have more, because the driver was, it seemed to me, from the second view, he was filming while driving, which is not good in the best of circumstances.
yeah, in perfect road conditions on a straight road, I would not particularly suggest doing this.
Then you throw in the active tornado. That's not great.
yeah, that makes things even crazier.
So yeah, it could be even just a you know, car accident could certainly hurt people or worse. So not a good idea, people. You know, I like to think that our listeners, Kevin, are smarter than that. Hopefully you guys aren't out there driving into tornadoes.
Yeah, no tribute to Bill Paxton necessary by driving into a tornado.
Yeah, and if you watch this video, don't be disappointed that it's not like the ending scene of Twister, where they were almost sucked up into the tornado. because it's really not quite, it's not that dramatic.
No. So that's the other reason why it's kind of funny. I mean, these people really got a browbeating from their peers. But honestly, all things considered, it does not look like they went through hell and back to achieve this. Like, the vehicle didn't even come off the ground at all. Like, no. I remember being caught. There's that one storm, where Columbus lost power for quite a while.
Yeah.
Because it was right when the wife and I started dating.
I don't believe that was a tornado, though. But yes, I recall that well.
Well, we were in my car driving up to Put-in Bay. And we got caught in that storm. And I honestly felt like my car was going to flip over. Like, the winds were so heavy. And, like, the car that they're in does not show any signs of, like, flipping over or anything like that. And I'm not saying it makes it a good idea, but, it did seem like...
It seemed like it blew them around a little bit.
Right. You can see the vehicle shaking a little bit. But it's there to me, there's never that time where I'm like, oh, my God, they're going to tip over.
Yeah, I mean, it was like a big truck going past you real fast maybe would, worse than that perhaps, but, of that same order, I would say, not that I thought that they were going to get, physically blown into the air or something like that. Although if they were blown into the air, I would say even a little bit, I would say things had seriously gone wrong.
Yeah, I think they would have learned their own lesson had something really severe happened.
Yeah, because that's going to cause other problems, too. Like, I think that would break some glass, maybe, or would you think that would do some vehicle damage?
Yeah, I would expect the higher the velocity of the wind, the more damage that goes on. And it's got to be pretty slow not to flip that over, honestly.
Right. You would have to land just right to get back on its tires again, which
is very doubtful to happen.
There's only one way to land right. Unfortunately, lots of ways to land wrong. So,
yeah.
The odds are not in your favor once you get tossed in the air by a tornado, Kevin.
Not even a little bit. Oh, man.
That's the moral of that story.
Yeah, there are a lot of odds that aren't good either. Like, what are the odds that someone could steal a gold coin that weighed 221 pounds?
Well, when you said gold coin, I thought, well, the odds are probably pretty good that someone can steal a gold coin, Kevin. But 221 pound gold coin?
Evidently, the Canadians have nothing better to do with their lives.
So this is an official coin from the Canadian government we're talking about here?
Yeah, it's a 2007. And it just honestly looks like a gigantic version of a regular... It just looks like regular change.
Yeah, you're right. Know? I mean, they've got a lot more... This is a, nearly 2 feet in diameter coin, they're saying here, and over an inch thick, of 99.99%
gold.
And yeah, it's an actual coin. It has a value of 1 million Canadian dollars. 1 million dollars.
Yeah.
But you're right. Like, there's no, like, it has the same dimensions. Like, the face is basically taking up the same real estate. The letters are basically of the right kind of scale for the size of the coin.
If
you were going to scale up the coin from a smaller size, that you've got more room for detail on here. It's such a much bigger canvas. Like, I don't know, Canada.
Oh, you don't think the pearl necklace really does it for you there?
Well, I mean, I don't know. That seems like something you could have added into a coin that was smaller even. Because they can add a lot of details in these coins. I don't know if you've been looking at these quarters lately, Kevin, but...
Even the old quarters were kind of... did as much detail as this. Like, it just looks like an old-school portrait. Like, I mean, it really just does look like a coin on steroids.
Yeah. It's a...
And made like out of gold.
Maybe a coin that ate one of those mushrooms from Super Mario Brothers and got real big.
That was another one that I saw, a topic to completely probably derail things.
Okay.
there was it was a hypothesis of whether you could beat Super Mario Brothers without getting any of the power-ups.
Okay.
The whole way through.
Huh.
Or kill it. Yeah, it was... Without Ooh. Killing anyone except for Bowser at the end.
Well, I was going to say you would...
King Koopa at the end.
I was going to say you'd have to do it him at some one of the castles too, I think, right?
Yeah, they were saying that you only kill when...
To end the level, maybe?
Yeah, to end the level. Like, if you have to do it, it's okay. But, like, no squashing a mushroom... Wow. No turning the turtles inside out and kicking them around.
Wow. I don't know. That's pretty hardcore. Because,
Yeah, that's one where I'm like, oh, that's an interesting goal. Why did you set that for yourself?
And that seems like it would be somewhat boring to watch, too. I don't know. I guess if you're allowed to go through the quickest way possible, maybe you can make it quick at least. And then just... avoid killing anybody. I don't know. Not sure what the record is on that one.
I did not click on the story either to give this any more legs than that. But I thought it was worth noting.
Yeah,
with the gold coin topic.
Well, that's also something from Mario, so I think I can understand where you're going. I think I'm picking up what you're laying down here, Kevin. It's actually 99.999% pure. Sorry, I misstated there. I left off a 9. The gold coin is, now, I think the real thing that Canada did here, even beyond the design of the coin, which doesn't help anything, but the coin in gold, as I understand it, is actually worth a lot more than the value of the coin.
$4.5 million of gold.
So they're off by like 4 times the amount.
Yeah. Like 4.5 times.
I mean, if you're not even giving it a reason not to melt this down, like, it's not, first of all, like we said, it's not that great a design to start with.
Yeah, you are not like, I know that I've seen, I believe someone stole Edvard Munch's The Scream painting from a museum one time.
Hmm.
Like, that has, like, real artistic value to it. Like, you can't fuck with that. Like, this coin...
Yeah, but the problem is, like, you can't then say, like, if you wanted to... just sell like the canvas from that painting and like make any money from it, you know, like minus the design of it, you know. It's like,
that's true too.
You have to sell
the painting.
Yeah. And then
intact.
And then you're probably also going to get caught then. Right. Because like, oh, hey, wasn't this like that painting, the famous painting that got stolen?
Yeah, that's why it never made any sense to me why you'd want to steal that kind of artwork. Just exactly, like, what...
I guess a private collector might buy it, but...
Yeah, I guess I don't live in that world, but that still seems a little crazy that...
somebody would just want to keep it to themselves, I guess.
Right.
I don't know, it's pretty weird.
Because, yeah, you can't just go, oh, I'm going to be a philanthropist now. And put that one out in public.
Or, like, yeah, donate it to a museum? I mean, no, I guess that's not what you... the whole point would be that you would have it for yourself.
Yeah. You cannot reveal that you're the person that had it stolen.
You could just slide it under the door, maybe.
Just give it back to the museum. Put a little post-it.
Yeah. Said, hey, you have this back.
Oh, hopefully they at least put a protective covering under it before they do that.
I know. I kind of cringed as I said that, just thinking about sliding it against the raw floor. But, you know, the thieves in question here have none of that going against them, Kevin. If they can just melt this coin down,
basically going to
be a commodity at that point. How can they tell where it came from?
Of course, I still would have to think it'd be kind of suspicious if you're trying to sell 221 pounds of gold.
True. Like, I mean, you could though melt it in smaller pieces if you so desire.
But that still requires some pretty serious equipment to smelt down a coin that is 221 pounds. I would imagine there's only so many people that have enough equipment to handle something like that.
I wonder. I mean, it would make it worth your while to maybe go out and acquire some of this equipment.
I would imagine that these persons, and that was the other thing that they said, that they are assuming that it's thieves, but they're not completely sure, simply because of the weight of the coin. They believe it has to be more than one person.
Yeah, I mean, this is the sort of thing that you really, I guess you could try to do the equivalent of selling the painting by, like, trying to just, like, I don't know, buy some groceries with that coin.
Can I get change for this?
Yeah.
I mean, the cashier looks at you funny if you hand him 100. I can't imagine if you gave them a $1 million coin that weighed 221 pounds.
200-pound coin. The ridiculousness of that. Like, would any country in the world do that beyond Canada? I don't know.
Well, and the other thing that's kind of funny is that it's been in Germany since 2010.
And that's the other dumb thing.
But yeah, why doesn't Canada have its own coin?
If you're only making one of these things, and then you're going to give it to Germany to hold on to?
Yeah, it's been 7 years. Like, I understand if you decide to have, like, some roving series with coin collectors or something like that and shipping it off to different museums for different stops for different, you know, like a couple of months at a time.
I mean, did Canada lose some kind of a bet or something? Does that explain this? Like, why Germany has this coin? Did they, like, make them make this coin and give it to them? Was that, like, if you lose the bet?
You have to make a gigantic gold coin.
And give it to the other country.
It must weigh at least 200 pounds.
Just to be safe, make it 221. I don't know. That seems logical. As logical as anything that I could possibly come up with here.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't really link to why it was there. They just said it's been there. And like I said, it's been since 2010, so it's not like it's some mistake that it landed in Germany. That puppy's been over there a while.
They've had time to return to sender if...
yeah, if it was requested, I would imagine.
Unless they just kind of forgot about it. We're like, oh, well, I don't know. It's, remember when we had that coin? Whatever happened to that?
Yeah. Man, this guy, he keeps on selling me gold one brick at a time every other month.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing. Like, you really do still have to, like, sell the gold.
99.999% pure.
A number of different locations, I would have to assume.
Right. Well, I don't see that as being that big of a problem, I guess. I mean, I figure there's probably multiple locations that will purchase gold. Yeah, so, it would be, I think if you were sophisticated enough to, like, get into this place and steal the coin, without apparently being seen on surveillance footage.
Oh, right. Yeah, they seem to have no idea who these persons were.
I'd say that they're going to try to...
they're crafty enough to get rid of
their tracks. Yeah. I don't think Canada's getting that coin back, is what I'm saying, Kevin.
That's pretty crazy, man. And whatever museum that... Oh, the Bode Museum in Germany. They've got to feel pretty bad about this one.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone lost a job over this.
You would kind of wonder if it was an inside job, I would think. At least I would, if it's somebody who knows maybe where to go to not be seen, you know?
And no, someone doesn't show up for work next week.
Yeah, someone's sick with pneumonia. Just saying. It could possibly go something like that.
It could.
But,
yeah, still not going to be easy. Like, even if you know how to fence that, you cannot push all of that coinage out at one time, I would not think.
No.
So, you've still got to play a little bit of a long game.
Yeah, you got to be smart. You don't want to catch too much attention by dumping all that at once. And I don't think you want to try to take it to the bank and just deposit it as a coin either. Like,
get an exchange for Bitcoin.
What? That would be so ridiculous.
Come to the owners of Bitcoin. I have 221 pounds of gold. How many Bitcoin does that get me?
Yeah, I mean, why not?
That would see if those dummies accept it.
I'm sure you could find somebody who would go for that on somewhere who would take Bitcoin. There's someone who would do that transaction. You may get somewhat worse exchange rate than you would other places, but you know, you're going to get a little extra secrecy probably. So,
it's which up to you. Hey, it's a needed part at this juncture.
Sure, when you're you know, stealing ridiculous coins, you need to have a little bit of secrecy. People can't know you're doing this kind of nonsense.
Yeah, well, people know that we're kind of doing this kind of nonsense as regularly as we can, Ken.
That's true.
I am at DeFrango11, he's at Ghoster33, the brand is at Stunt Granny, and well, I don't know exactly which beer I just drank.
This was a Sam Adams grapefruit IPA, and it's pretty grapefruity.
Yeah, it's pretty grapefruity. I'm not sure I'm still the biggest fan. Like, my palate has changed over the years. Still maybe not that big of a grapefruit fan.
Yeah, it's perhaps not for everybody. I was thought I'd give it a shot, but
you know. I do know a number of people that enjoy the grapefruity IPAs, and good for them.
Yeah, I'm not sure it does a great job of balancing it with the IPA-ness, but I don't know. I think I might have had better, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yep. It was drinkable. I finished it, so
yeah,
wasn't that bad. But probably not one of the top notchers. So and that's the Bell Time beer for the week.
Ding ding.
Because the other option, if you said you didn't have beer, was going to be the in-house Stunt Granny Brewing Pepper Porter with vanilla was going to be on the docket because I wasn't going to stop for beer.
Gotcha. But this way, people might actually have heard of this beer out in the world or been able to purchase them for themselves.
Yeah, this is not a local beer.
Yeah.
Purchasable by pretty much everyone, unless you live in another country and listen to this show.
Which, thank you, international listeners, for tuning in this week.
And, have a good night.
Bye.